Good morning. Maybe seated. Last time that I spoke, I talked about starting now. Starting right now. And I'm here to tell you that that was over 2 months ago. You guys remember that? I was like, it was yesterday when I talked about starting now. Starting what you want to do right now. And it's already been 2 months. You see how quickly time goes by? So I hope that everyone has started then, is happy with where they're at right now, and if not, you can start right now. But I want to do something today. I want to do something. I would like to ask someone to come up forward with me. How about Adrian? Aaron, you too. Come up here. Or no, wait, Aaron, wait, sit down. Sit down right there. Adrian, come up here. This is Adrian. Say hi to Adrian. So, Adrian, I'm going to do something with you, okay? So I want you to stand right here in the middle. I want you to face me. Now, Adrian and I, we went to camp together. And so I know a little bit about Adrian. So, or I'm not going to say what happened at camp. But what I want to do something with Adrian today. So, Adrian, now, would you say that you and I are friends? Are you say that we're, and honestly, do you say that we're close? Kinda. We're kinda close. Not the closest, we're kinda close though. We could work on our friendship. So Adrian, what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes. Take one more step forward. Okay? So Adrian, what I want you to, so would you say, from the time that you know me, would you say that you trust me? Yeah. How much do you trust me? A bit or a lot? Alright, stand, take one more step forward. A little step. Okay. So Adrian, what if I told you, I said, would you trust me in a trust fall? Yeah? Do you know where I'm at right now? Keep your eyes closed. Okay. What would you say I'm at now? All right, Adrian, one more time. What would you say I'm at now? No, keep your eyes closed. Keep your eyes closed. Okay. So, Adrian, what I want you to do, what if I told you, I said I'm going to catch you right now, okay? So on the count of three, I want you to jump back. Or not jump back, I want you to fall back. And I want you to trust me, okay? On the count of three. One, two, three. That's not trusting. I told you to fall back. Did you trust me? I told you I was going to catch you. Good. Thanks, guys. You can sit down. Thanks. See, and oftentimes, within our walk with Christ, and not just with you, Adrian, with all of us, oftentimes as humans, we fear what we do not see. We fear what we do not know. We fear what we cannot comprehend. Throughout the scripture, God tells us not to fear not. To trust in me. Trust that I'm going to catch you. Trust that I'm going to be there for you. See, Adrian and I had a relationship. He trusted me. And yet he still stumbled a little bit to fall back all the way. Today, I want to talk a little bit. Well, I entitled my sermon, I Trust in You. But before we can get into trusting God, I want to go over some things with you that prevent us from trusting God all the way. One of the things that stops us from trusting God all the way is fear. Disbelief and doubt come from fear. And fear paralyzes, restricts, and prevents us from doing what God has planned for us. We cannot fear. There is no room for fear. From Genesis through Revelation, God consistently says to his people, fear not, for I am with you. Do not fear. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, there are some scriptures I'm going to go over. There are some scriptures I'm going to skim through. But on the ones that I feel are very important, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles with me. Is that okay? Is that okay? So this is one you don't have to turn to, but I want you to just listen. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, It says, "For God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Did you see that? Did you hear that? God does not give us a spirit of fear. So why do we continuously fear? Why do we fear what we do not see, what we cannot understand? Now, I haven't spoken with all of you directly or what's going on with your life, but I'm sure there are things that you're fearing right now, that you're afraid of, whether it's with family, your spouse, your bills, school, work, whatever. But God says, do not fear not. Oftentimes, we don't understand why we fear. I challenge anyone in this room today, if I don't know how you're feeling, but I challenge anyone today, and if you want to write this verse down, you can, to read Matthew chapter 6. Read Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34, and tell me if that doesn't uplift you a little bit. Tell me if that doesn't give you a sense of peace and of comfort. Does anyone know what that says in there? What does it say? That's 33. But in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, do not worry. Don't worry. I know what you need. I know that you need clothes. I take care of the birds of the air. How much more are you not that I'm not going to take care of you? He reiterates that in Matthew 10, 31. He says, do not worry. You're more important to me than the birds of the air. So today I want to look at someone who feared, who didn't trust enough in God. And if you turn your Bibles with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, starting with verse 10. In 2 Kings chapter 6, starting with verse 10. It says, then the king of Israel sent someone to the place which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out there, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those that are with us are more than those that are against us. And Elisha prayed, and he said this, Lord, I pray that you open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. One of the verses that says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? But we are troubled by what we see. Oftentimes we trust, we see something ahead of us and we say, man, how can I do this? What can I do to get over this? We fear. And when we begin to fear, we begin to question. And when we begin to question, we begin to doubt. Turn your Bibles with me to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, starting with verse 5. In James chapter 1, starting with verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Let not that man believe he will receive anything from the Lord. We can't go to God in doubt and expect to receive something. We can't go to God in doubt and doubt his ever greatness, his power, and everything that he is and all that he does and expect him to help us. How can I go to God and say, Lord, please help me? And then turn around and say, all right, now how can I fix this by myself? Is that trusting in God? Or is that doubting? Is that just an escape for me at the moment? Is that just an escape at the moment to say, Lord, it's right. It's what I know. It's what I've grown up on to pray in that moment. But how can I act upon it after that? What can I do to show my faith? In Luke 18:27, it says, what's impossible with man is only possible with God. I love that verse. And I want everyone to remember that verse because it's important throughout our daily lives. In Luke 18, 27, everyone, I want everyone to say this with me. What's impossible with man is only possible with God. Luke 18, 27. What's impossible with man is only possible with God. There is no room for doubt. There is no room for fear. Remember that fear paralyzes us, restricts us, and prevents us from doing what God wants us to do. We cannot be fearful. There should be no fear with us. And if we are lacking anything, we must come to Him in faith. We must believe that He is. We must believe that He will be there. We cannot be like Elisha's servant and say, "What shall we do?" We need to have faith and we need to trust. I put my trust in you. One of the biggest doubters in the Bible is Thomas. Does anyone know the story of Thomas? If you turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 20, we're going to read a little bit about Thomas. In John chapter 20, in John chapter 20, starting with verse 24, it says, "Now Thomas, called the twin of one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples there said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger in through the print of the nails, and put my hand on his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came to the doors and shut and stood in front of them and said, 'Peace to you.' And he said to Thomas, 'Reach out your finger. Reach out your finger here and look at my hands. And reach out your hand here and put it on my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord, my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those that have never seen me and yet believe.'" We must believe with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, all of our spirits, and all of our souls that God is and will forever be. We cannot doubt. I want to try something else with you guys. And we are in the house of God, so if anyone's lying, God's going to know it. I want everyone here to think of the most reliable person that you know, the most trustworthy person you know, the person that you trust more than anyone in the world, and we all have that person. Don't give me blank faces. I want you guys to think. Think of the most trustworthy person you know, that if you call that person right now, they would be there for you. Does everyone have a person in mind? Does everyone have a person in mind? Now, I want to play a scenario out for you. Let's say you needed that person today at a certain time. You needed that person at 8 o'clock. And you said, "I need you to be here exactly at 8 o'clock. Remember, this person has never let you down before. And this person shows up at 8:05. But you needed them at 8 o'clock. What's your first response? Is it A, you're going to go to this person and say, "Why'd you let me down? What the heck?" Is it B, you're going to ignore it and make up some excuse and rationalize and say, "Well, they were probably caught in traffic. They never let me down before. This is not like them." Or is it C, you're going to start questioning your friendship and probably start doubting? Which one realistically is it? B. We're going to make up some excuse and say, "This person has never done this before. It's not like them. They probably were caught up with traffic or doing something." But you're not going to doubt your friendship. You're not going to question it because they've never done it before. So why in our moments of weakness we doubt God? I serve a God who is never late. I serve a God who's always on time. I serve a God who's been there for me since day one. He's my day one. I serve a God who has never let me down. I serve a God who's always on time. If I need Him, He's there at that moment, at that second. So why do I continuously fear and doubt when He's been there for me? In Hebrews 11, 6, it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For anyone who comes to God must believe that He is." There is no room for doubt. There is no room for fear when you come to God. There is none. There is none. If we want to become people of God, We are a Bible-based, Christ-centered church, amen? And we surrender ourselves to God. We are all for Him. To the end of the earth, to the days of our last breath, we should be for Him. There should be no room for doubt or fear. No matter what the world tries to do, no matter what society, how society tries to intimidate us, there is no room for fear. In Psalms 56:3, it says, "For if God is with me, whom shall I fear? For what can mortal man do to me?" There is no room for doubt. There is no room for fear. We need to trust God wholeheartedly. We need to say, "God, take it all. I'm trusting in You. I can no longer do this by myself. I don't want to do this by myself." And so we get into trust. So if you turn your Bibles with me to Daniel chapter 6, I want to read about Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, in Daniel chapter 6, starting with verse 16. In Daniel chapter 6, starting with verse 16. It says, So the king gave a command and brought Daniel and cast him into the den of the lions. But the king spoke to Daniel, saying, "Your God, whom you serve, He will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of the lords, and the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No musicians were brought before him. He also slept. He also in his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went to his haste to the dens of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continuously, has He delivered you from the lions?" And Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent His angel, and He shut the lion's mouth so that he may not hurt me, because I found innocent before Him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel, taken out of the den with no injury whatsoever, because he trusted in his God. Daniel trusted in his God, so he was not hurt. If God says He's going to be here for you today, do you believe that? Church, do you believe that? Do we believe in the promises of God? Do we believe that God can take any situation and make it right? Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am your Lord and I do not change. I am your God and I don't change." Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen." God does not change. We need to learn and trust more in God. To take off these shackles. To not let the spirit of fear overcome us. Is my class in here today? My class, can you stand up? Now, can you guys tell the church here today, the memory verse that we're learning? Proverbs 16:3. What does that say?
Commit to God in all that you do, and all your plans will succeed.
And what does that mean? Savannah, what does that mean? Emma, Gabriel, what does that mean? He is loyal and faithful and true and just. Thanks, guys. That He never, ever lets us down. When you have God, when God is all you have, do you have more than enough? When God is all you have, do you have more than enough? Do we need more? Guys, we should put away these fears and these doubts. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, it says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than any human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than any human strength." The foolishness of God is much wiser than any human wisdom. And the weakness of God is still much stronger than any human strength. That's 1 Corinthians 1:25. If God were to fail, He's still much stronger than I'll ever dream to be. If God were to fail, he's much wiser than any amount of wisdom that I have is in dust to him. God is everlasting. God does not fail. He says, fear not. Now, church, everyone knows Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Say that with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. It's a beautiful verse, right? Does anyone know what it says right after that? The very next verse, does anyone know what that says? In verse 7, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear God and shun evil, for this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Why would they incorporate that right after it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart? Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. In verse 7, the very next verse, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear God and shun evil. Whatever you think you know, whatever we desire to know, whatever we want to know, he should be first. We should seek after God's own heart first. We should seek knowledge if God permits it. Everyone turn your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 30. In Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, which is, I mean, this is beautiful. This is an absolutely beautiful verse. In Proverbs chapter 30, starting with verse 7. Proverbs chapter 30, starting with verse 7. Listen to this. Proverbs 30, starting with verse 7. Two things I request of you, God. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that you have given me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. God, don't let me be rich. Otherwise, I may say, who is my God? In Matthew, it says that the rich will never inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's why I stopped paying the lottery a long time ago. But the rich will never inherit the kingdom of heaven. You know why? Because where do they put their trust in? They put their trust in their money, in their businesses, and in themselves. Now, we can sit here and say, well, I'm a man of God, or I'm a woman of God. If God gave me, let me win the lottery, I know that I would do good. Would you really? Would you really? Because in Psalms it says that our heart is evil. No man can control it. Evil comes out from our hearts. Lord, give me neither riches nor poverty. Just give me just enough, God. Give me just enough so that I can worship you and say, this is what God has given me. I put my trust in you, Lord. If you don't let me be rich, I'm going to trust in you. If you don't let me be poor, I'm still going to trust in you. What I have right now, I've trusted in you, and this is what you've given me, so I'm happy with it. Why do I need more? Do we not know that when the kingdom of heaven comes, we're going to have abundance full of whatever it is that we want? So why do we look after riches here on earth that flee and collect dust of the earth? Why are we so hungry for money or for whatever when the kingdom of heaven is going to give us more than we could ever imagine? Be happy with what you have right now, because this is what God has given you. Are you not happy with where you're at? God put you in this position, wherever you're at in your life, for a reason. There's a reason for this, and you need to trust in him that the reason that you're in this position is because you're going to do something good and great for God. He's using this position either to give you wisdom, knowledge, understanding, to help you restore your faith, to help you come to him and say, I'm putting you in this position because I want you to trust in me more. In Hebrews, it says that God disciplines those that he loves. He disciplines those that he loves. So if you're not content or happy with where you're at, maybe God's disciplining you. I don't know. But you're in this position for a reason, wherever you're at in your life, for a reason. And this is where God wants you. It may not be where you want you, where you want to be, but God wants you in this position. And we need to trust in him. Cast out all fears. Cast out all doubt. and trust in the Lord. Luke 18:27. For what is impossible with man is possible with God. Church, say that with me. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Luke 18:27. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Yes, we need to trust in God, but we cannot turn our head and say, now I'm going to do what it is that I want to do because this is beneficial to me. And I love the very next verse. I love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, but I love 7 and 8 even more. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear God and shun evil, for this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. I encourage you today to trust in the Lord. If you're feeling down today, if you're feeling little ill and little doubt, I encourage you to read Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, 25 and 34, and tell me if that doesn't bring a smile to your face. Tell me if that doesn't uplift you a little bit. Trust in the Lord. Cast out fear. Do not let fear paralyze you. Do not let fear prevent you from doing what God wants you to do today. Do not let fear and doubt hold you back from what God has planned for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Thank you. God bless.